welcome to episode 6 of What's on Joe Mind, a fan cast about the world of G.I. Joe. This week, the band is back together. Sunburnt and still with the ringing of Indy cars in my ears, I'm Gary. Joining me, founder of the Shore Patrol, Chuck.
Good evening, Gary. Good evening, guys.
From the high-tech General Joe's virtual studios, he's here because Mike isn't this week, right?
That's right.
So we can make fun of the Yankees?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, welcome, Justin.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
And coming back after a week of being on assignment, whatever that might be, is the showrunner, Greg. Greg, welcome back.
Thank you. I see I got bumped down to fourth billing for missing a week.
Well, no. There actually is kind of a reason I put you last there. You know,
I'm the showrunner now, Greg. Sorry to break it to you.
Oh, man.
You've been ejected.
Well, no. No.
3-hour podcast every week.
Oh, Jesus.
No, but the reason I mentioned Greg last is... Pause. You had a birthday, dude. Happy birthday, man. How you doing?
Thank you very much.
Happy birthday, Greg.
Thank you.
Nobody told me it was his birthday.
Facebook told me.
I would have gotten a cake.
For yourself.
No, I would have sent it to him. Greg, my paisan, happy birthday.
Thank you very much. I decided to buy myself a car like my idol Justin for my birthday.
Hey, there you go. There you go. What kind of car did you get?
I got a Ford Fusion.
Nice.
Yeah.
Had to replace my old Alero.
Oh, yeah. That's got some age behind it. I had an Alero way back in the day.
Yeah. It was time.
So did anybody actually, I don't know, we're not necessarily talking to the sports crowd here, but anyone see the Indy 500 this weekend? Hear about the guy going into the fourth turn, getting ready to take the checkered flag and smacks the wall?
No.
It was right there in front of me. We were sitting in turn 4, and this guy's, you know, got the thing sealed up and then smacks the wall. Yeah, ouch. And ends up losing it right in the last turn of the race. So,
ouch.
Yeah, it was the agony of, you know, the thrill of victory and then really the agony of defeat there. But it shows you a couple life lessons learned. Never, never, ever give up and never assume that you're going to win anything until you cross the finish line.
Probably should have told that to the Patriots back in 2007 or whatever year they were.
You know, it's on come NFL season if we're still doing the podcast. It's me and Justin.
Or if there is still an NFL season.
There will be, because the Super Bowl is going to be here in Indy.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have some good Colts-Pats talk if that happens.
We got to play you guys again.
Every year.
In Foxborough this year in the freaking wintertime.
Beautiful. Bring it on.
Yeah, whatever. Schedule makers hate Indianapolis Colts.
Hey, come on. We played in Indy like the past 3-4 years in a row. I don't want to hear you crying.
No, you guys cried loud enough when you missed that 4th-and-2. Anyway. Yes. So let's get back on the topic of Joe. Here's how you contact the show. You may email us at whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook. Just search on What's on Joe Mind. Add us to your news feed. The podcast hosting site is whatsonjoemind.podbean.com, and you can subscribe to us on iTunes. So those are the big important ways to catch up on our news and also listen to the show. So now that we have our showrunner back and I don't have to worry about keeping an agenda, I can turn all this over to Greg right now, and we can start really with our first topic.
Take the rest of the night off, Gary.
Thank you. I earned it. I know.
All right, the first thing is a little house cleaning. A quick retraction from last week. It was actually, when we were talking about the pictures of the heads from they were at the convention, it was mistakenly said that they were from the 2010 convention, but actually they were shown this year at the 2011 convention. So it wasn't quite the scoop that we figured it was, but still pretty neat to see. Sad that I got to miss out on that conversation, but still some neat heads we got to see in there. So that was that, and then... this week we're finally going to get to our mailbag, finally. So we've got a couple different emails that have come into the mailbox. I just want to read one of them real quick. That actually was from the second episode. Kurt emailed us and told us about a very nice program that helps you normalize the volume levels of podcasts called Levelator. And so he was happy enough to share that with us to kind of fix our sound issues. So if we sound better lately, it's because of that.
Except for Mike.
I was going to say that software is apparently mic-proof.
This is true.
The exception to the rule.
Can't fix everything, I guess. But
yeah, he's beyond repair.
It's the old adage, polish a turd. Yeah.
That was Hopefully Gary, not. Mike. That was Gary.
So thanks again, Kurt, for that. We appreciate it. And just to give him a little plug, he used to do a podcast about Farscape called Scapecast, and also a podcast for the World Fantasy Convention of 2008. So thanks, Kurt. We appreciate it. And then we also got an email from Richard Stepp. He says, I love the podcast, especially since I have no one to talk Joe with at home. I've been collecting since the 80s and still have it all, and wanted to move from lurking on the boards to actually participating in the community, and thought it might be a worthwhile topic to discuss moving from just being a collector to actually getting involved. And yes, I realize that posting on a board is a start, but there are so many to choose from, and it's hard to say which site specializes in what. He also goes on to mention a way to storage your figures, which looks like it's a 30-drawer storage chest that you use for typically screws and nails, so I'll post a link to that in the show notes. But thanks for writing in, Richard. We will get to that question a little bit later in our Collecting 101 topic. And then the final email that I received was from Sean. Sean says, hey there, just wanted to say I recently discovered your podcast and totally love it. I'm a longtime Joe fan from Canada, and it's cool to hear knowledgeable folk who share the same passion.
Goddamn fooled.
What podcast is he listening to?
It must be the Joe review. I think he's got us mixed up.
Oh, that's right. I'll forward that on to those guys.
They'll appreciate it. He says, I laughed when I heard you guys talking about hitting up all the different stores in your area to find new Joe stuff, as I do that at least two to three times a week. Haha. I grew up in the 80s and never stopped collecting the figures and the comics and attend the conventions when I can. Anyway, you've got a fan, and I can offer any suggestion. It'd be that we'd love to hear more focus on G.I. Joe comics in upcoming episodes. The IDW stuff is great. And maybe some focus on weird, obscure G.I. Joe toys and their origins, like the Aliens or the Sears Dreadnought vehicles, for example. Thanks for writing in, Sean. We appreciate it. Hopefully you got a little bit of that IDW talk last week, but I'm sure we'll be talking about it a little bit more going forward. And we'll have to touch on the Aliens and style, or the Space Brigade stuff, a little bit later on as well.
Well, I know. Star Brigade too.
Yeah, and I know I want to get us, you know, do a short discussion maybe on get some guys in the community involved that are collectors of the Fun School side of the hobby, and talk about some of that stuff, because there are some strange and wacky stuff out there, and then there's collectors of every bit of it. So getting them on the show would be a really cool thing. So we appreciate you writing in and pointing out some of that stuff, because we've kind of figured there'd be people out there like to hear about that, but we really don't know until you justify our suspicions by actually writing in and telling us that you'd like to hear about that. So thanks again.
All right, thanks, Sean. Chuck, did you have a chance to take a look at some other comments that we've seen?
Yes, I did. And this was actually from Joe Battlelines. They must have a very strong Sigma 6 community there, because they had requested of us to do a Sigma 6 themed episode. Basically just talk about the show and the toys, which, you know, I think is a fantastic idea. I liked Sigma 6. Unfortunately, I got into it really when the line was ending and, you know, the cartoon was going off the air. But Justin, I know you've mentioned several times that you're a Sigma 6 aficionado, and
absolutely,
I know you'd probably salivate at something like this.
I'm salivating now just thinking about it.
Ew.
I'll try not to get any on the mic.
Or the keyboard.
No, I think I'd love to talk about Sigma 6 a little bit, definitely. I think the three people who would be interested in that would love a show like that.
If the other two would like to hear about that, please write us.
No, in all seriousness, the guys over at Joe Battlelines, you know, when Sigma 6 was going strong, I was running Sigma 6 Central, which was an offshoot of Joe Battlelines, and they still maintain a very strong Sigma 6 presence over there, which is awesome. And, anytime you guys want to do a Sigma 6 show, I'm all for it.
All right, very cool. Chuck, did you have anybody else comment from any other forums that you would like to mention?
Well, yeah. I mean, I actually would just like to say thank you to the members of His Tank, Joe DeClassified, Joe Customs and especially Terradrome, because they constantly, every week when we put up a new episode, they always are the first ones to say, hey, we love it. You know, it's a great job. Thank you for being a voice. And really just thank you guys for listening. We do appreciate it. We especially appreciate the fact that you will front page on your websites when we put up a new episode to get the word out, and we just appreciate the feedback and that you're listening, and that, you know, if there's ever anything you guys want to hear or any type of criticism, just send it back to us. Thank you.
Alright, thank you, Chuck. Moving on next, unless you guys have anything else, we'll go into the news for the week. Top of the news list, we have Collectors Club magazine has picks of the running changes that we'll be seeing for Crocmaster and Blowtorch. And Gary actually got in the Collectors Club issue, if he wants to talk about that.
Yeah, this week, a little bit more, actually this month, is a little bit more follow-up from some convention coverage, including a nice article by a friend of the show, James Cavanaugh, and also a picture of him in all his Bullet Man glory. And when I say all his Bullet Man glory, I mean all of his Bullet Man glory.
That scares me just thinking about that.
Also, in Brian's Intel, which is a kind of a column he writes every month, there's a couple pieces of information here I wanted to bring a light, couple or follow-up to what we talked about last week with the subscription figures, and also kind of a, I think it's kind of funny the way he kind of words it on Dial Tone. But we'll go ahead and start with Dial Tone. It says, your 2011 free memberships figures in the mail. You should receive your figure by the end of May, as sometimes the post office delays third-class mail. All the loose and carded Dial Tone figures are sold out. Okay, so there it is. Definitively, they are sold out. Please do not call or ask about your figure until June 1st.
Tomorrow.
Which is tomorrow or today, depending on when you download this. We try to get this up. That's a Wednesday. We try to get these up on Wednesdays. So if you are listening to this and you haven't got your figure, oh, crap. Now's call a good time to give them a call.
Everybody, call them right now.
No matter what time of day it is, just give them a ring.
And please say hi to Kathy and Angie and tell them Gary says hi.
Yeah, tell them what's on Joe Mind sent you.
Banned.
tell them Vangelis sent you. There you go.
All right. We don't need to drop any more aliases that might get us banned anyways. We are working to figure out the specifics for the figure subscription service and hope to bring you some specific info in the next club magazine. So hopefully next month we will get more information of the subscription service. Starting later this year, exact timing to be determined, there'll be a two-figure release each month for 6 months, 12 total figures mounted on single-figure cards. So what we were talking about last week, you know, whether they're going to be carded or not, well, this is definitively telling us once again it's going to be carded. Starting approximately 8 to 12 weeks before the first figure shipped to the club, we will begin accepting subscriptions for the service for a period of 2 to 4 weeks. Once the subscription deadline has gone by, no more subscriptions will be added to this run. These figures are all G.I. Joe Collector Club exclusives and will not be available in any retail store. That's shocking. They will be characters many fans thought they would never see in a 25th line, and they will include some canceled retail figures along with some new imaginings. We will be billing your credit card on file for your figure subscription. Currently, we have not decided how many billings there will be, probably 3 or 6. Provided that all your billings go through, your final shipment will be sent. We will send you a free carded 13th figure. So
sounds good.
So that's kind of the gist of follow up for what we talked about last week. Sadly, there are no General Hawk Justin articles in this issue, but they do have a nice spread on the upcoming variants of Blowtorch and Crocmaster. I hope you guys have seen them, and kind of turn this back over to Greg to kind of talk about these guys. What do you think of the Green Blowtorch and the Python Patrol Decoed Croc Master?
Well, based on the very small pictures that I've seen of them, I think they're definitely both improvements over what we'll be getting initially. The Croc Master mold, I mean, a lot of people are probably not that happy that it's coming out in that mustard yellow first, but I think the red repaint looks pretty sharp, and I think that the blowtorch in the green looks pretty neat as well. So I guess we'll see what happens with them. Chuck, do you have any inclination to get either of them?
Actually, I do. But the thing is, that only if I see them on shelves. I already got a Croc Master because I ordered the Wave from Big Bad Toy Store. And, you know, when it comes to repaints, I know a lot of the online retailers, especially when it's like a running variant, they don't always have them listed individually. And if they do, it's at a higher price that would be a deterrent to picking it up from there. So if I see it in a store, I'll definitely pick it up. I'm more interested in the Python Patrol Croc Master than I am in Green Blowtorch, just because I prefer the yellow and red motif to Blowtorch over that like gassy, neonish type green.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to them myself. I mean, I'm no real big fan of repaints. You know, the anniversary version of Croc Master was pretty cool. I definitely didn't need a second one. A third one, you know, he looks all right. You know, I like the red Python Patrol color scheme a lot better than the gray and yellow. But even with that color scheme, I'm really not a big Python Patrol fan, so I couldn't really care less one way or the other if we get a whole lot more Python Patrol stuff. I do think it's better that we at least get some kind of difference in the figure compared to what we got with the initial release of Wave 6. But beyond that, I'm not all that enthralled. The Blowtorch, I think, is a pretty cool idea. The Blowtorch figure, I'm not all that impressed with. At any rate, just his articulation issues are pretty glaring. They bulked up his body so much that he can barely bend his elbows. And, you know, I'm just not really, you know, from a look perspective, he looks really nice, really detailed. But he's a case where sculpting kind of overtook functionality. And even with the new green paint scheme, it'll look better, I think. And it's kind of cool that it's from a canceled concept in the 80s, but a new paint job isn't going to fix his articulation problems, so he still isn't going to be a real highly sought-after figure by me. But you know, I'll probably pick one up.
So, Justin, let me ask you a question. Do you think that the green Blowtorch would have been a better candidate for the subscription service as opposed to being a running change in a mainline release?
No, absolutely not. I don't want to be paying $250 or $300 for a one-year subscription to get a green-painted Blowtorch. I want something, you know, better than that. I want something different. New concepts or something with significantly new tooling that we haven't seen in the main line yet. I don't want them to slap a fresh coat of paint on an existing figure, especially a figure I don't especially like, and then release it through an exclusive line where we've only, I mean, as it stands, we only have 13 mythical figure slots to put stuff out in, and you're kind of paying a premium for it. I don't want to pay a premium for just a new coat of paint. I want something a little bit better than that. I mean, I think the Nanobat is a perfect example. You know, that technically is just a new coat of paint on the bat, but the way the Collector's Club is doing it, it's got light piping in the head. It's got, you know, kind of transparent arms and transparent faceplate, so you can kind of see the light shining through the figure. It's got some new elements to it besides a fresh coat of paint that make it a cooler figure than something we got in the main line. And I think stuff like that is good. But I don't just want them to throw a new color scheme on an existing figure without changing stuff significantly and call it good. That's
now,
not what I'm paying
now,
for.
Now, Justin, I know you got the hotline, the red phone hotline back to Hasbro. So I'm getting the impression that these aren't just variants. They said they were variants at Con, but then hear that this is what we're going to see going forward. So really, the rare ones are going to be the currently that stuff that's out now. These and everything out going forward is going to be Green Blowtorch and Python Patrol Croc Masters. Am I understanding that right?
That's the impression I get. I mean, that's not based on any intel I have or anything. That's just the impression I get is that they're running changes, that the color schemes are going to shift over time, and eventually all future releases are going to come out in this color. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be easier to find. I mean, if you look, I don't know if the Hiss is a good example. I don't have any Ross stores in my area, so I haven't seen any black Hisses at retail. But is the black Hiss a lot easier to find than the brown Hiss these days?
I've never seen one in the wild yet.
So yeah,
not that I looked really hard.
I mean, that was a running change, and that didn't really end up being a whole lot easier to find. But then you run across stuff like Snake Eyes with the gray Timber versus the black one, and obviously that was quite the opposite of the Yellow Stalker. But I don't see a demand of that type for these figures. I mean, nobody's really that excited about Blowtorch and Crocmaster in their normal colors anyway, so I don't think you're going to see these spike in value just because there was a running change that makes them different. So I don't know. I think it's pretty inconsequential.
All right. Well, that is your club news for this month. Check back next month for more news from the club. Greg?
All right. Thanks, Gary. Next up on the news list is that the Sideshow Dusty figure has started shipping. Some Tank posted in-hand pictures. And then also if you go to the Sideshow Freaks forum, which is where people that collect Sideshow figures of all sorts get together and talk about different figures, they've also been posting pictures as well. I do not have the Dusty and didn't order this one, though I do have the Beachhead that came out last year. And I've said it a couple times before, but I will say it again, that if I know everyone thinks, oh, why would I pay $145 for one figure? But I would recommend, if you have a particular character that you really like or one of them jumps out at you, go ahead and order it and cut back on somewhere else if you need to, because the figures are fantastic. They are just awesome. That I do not regret that Beachhead purchase one bit, whatever. Did you order the Dusty, or are you planning on getting it later on?
I didn't order it. Sideshow has kind of been breaking my heart a little bit lately. Not necessarily the quality of their toys, but just that, I don't have the extra money to spend on them. I actually had pre-orders for Stalker and the Cobra Viper, which I just canceled recently just because I can't scare up an additional, $250, $300 to get those figures. But I agree with you totally that if there's any character that you really have a affinity for, any particular figure that you think looks cool and you're kind of on the fence, you got to get at least one of them. Because as it stands now, I have Beachhead, I have the Cobra Trooper, and I have Duke. And I love all three of them. All three of them are great display pieces, great toys. It's absolutely killing me that I can't find a way to get Stalker or the Cobra Viper. But as it stands now, I did have to cancel those pre-orders. So we'll see if anything changes in the next couple of months or not. But right now, that's where it is, and it breaks my heart. But it's a choice I had to make. And I think if you really love the 12-inch scale and you like highly detailed, highly articulated figures, you really got to go for it, because there's some very nice toys.
I want to hear from a 12-inch collector that actually collects these. I have not heard from a 12-inch collector that actually gets these. I don't know if it's because it's outside of the Adventure Team or the more of their vintage format, but I thought for sure this would kind of, they would really eat this up, and I've yet to really see that some of the 12-inch, diehard 12-inch collectors have really dove into this. With that said, I agree with what Greg said. There's no way, and I spend more than my fair share in money on Joe's. We all know this. But I can't spend $1.45 or $1.50 on a single 12-inch figure, despite all the extra accessories and articulation, and guns with chambers that pull back and replace the clips and little bullets and whatnot. I only have one. I got Duke. I would like to get General Hawk here eventually, but the Ninja for San Diego Comic-Con, I guess we would call that a repaint, I guess. The last couple doesn't seem very well inspired, in my opinion. The Dusty, kind of boring, actually. I'm sure, whoever buys them is going to get more than their fair share of enjoyment out of them, but it just really didn't do anything for me. Sideshow, if anyone has listened from Sideshow to this show, Torpedo, My Man Snow Job, Airborne, those are three figures that would look really good with all a bunch of accessories and details you put into a figure in 12-inch format. Just my take. Chuck, what do you think?
To be honest, I just don't have any, and it's a price issue. I actually have one. I have the Cobra Sniper, but as everybody else has said, $150 for one figure is just not something that's doable for me. I also don't like the fact that, Sideshow has already gone ahead and we have three or four repaints in this line. I think at, in a line that's $150 per figure, it should only be main characters. I am keeping my eye out for the Zartan figure, and if the Zartan figure is up to what I want. I'll think about getting him, but there's no way I'll be able to pre-order him because I don't want to commit to, you know, $150, $175 at that shot. I think these were made more so for Sideshow collectors and less for G.I. Joe collectors just because of the design. And one thing I do want to mention is don't think these are, you know, really highly articulated, because I've seen a lot of Sideshow reviews and the body type they use, while it's great and it's more articulated than a 4-inch figure, it really can't do as much as you think due to the fact that they don't sometimes have double jointed elbows and what have you, and because of the cloth clothing, the joints are sometimes limited.
Yeah, they do. They've been the body's been a little bit funky. I know pre-Beachhead, I had Snake Eyes at one point, and then the Cobra Trooper, before Beachhead came along, the knees were kind of smoothly jointed. You could bend them back and forth, get really good range of motion. But starting with Beachhead, I'm pretty sure the knees kind of clack when you bend them and kind of lock down. And ever since they did that, it seems like he's not quite as flexible. I've been able to get them to do pretty much whatever I want them to do personally. I don't know what kind of sick and twisted things Sideshow collectors want them to do, but from my perspective, I mean, they can stand up and fire a weapon and get into some pretty decent fighting poses, and that works for me. But I can understand, I mean, I know there's companies out there like Hot Toys and things like that that are absolutely insanely triple jointed, can do anything you would dream of, and Sideshow toys are not that, but they're still pretty decent. And I think you do bring up a good point too, Gary, about the diehard 12-inch collectors. I think a lot of them are a lot more similar to us than you might think, and they're primarily, even though it's 12-inch, they are primarily Hasbro G.I. Joe collectors, and that's the line they prefer, is anything Hasbro made. I would imagine they would purchase several Hasbro lower-end 12-inch figures over one of the Sideshow $150 figures just because
it's
not Hasbro made. Yeah. And not to mention the fact that those guys have a grudge against us little guys anyway, so they don't want us invading their scales. No offense to any 12-inch collectors out there.
We need to get a 12-inch collector on the show. We want to hear from you, 12-inch collectors. What's on your mind at gmail.com?
And my name is Gary, by the way.
Greg, take this. Kill it.
All right. Final bit of news for the week is that on TVGuide.com, they released, three more episode synopses for G.I. Joe Renegades. The next one that we're going to see is June 11th, called The Anomaly. Joe is headed to New York to find a missing kid. While investigating the encounter, a sewer viper being pursued by a mindbender, it says. It says by a mindbender. I don't know if that's a mistake or what. But then a week after that, we have Cutting Edge. Cobra Commander is attacked by a ninja and forced to escape to a secure facility. Meanwhile, Snake Eyes and Scarlet sneak into the Commander's facility.
Oh, I thought that was going to be an episode about figure skating. Gosh.
It may still be. You never know. And then on the 25th of June, we have Cousins. Flint gets help from Heavy Duty to capture Roadblock. Meanwhile, Major Blood seeks revenge against the Joes. So that's all that we've seen listed so far. That brings us up to 23 episodes for G.I. Joe Renegades. So that's actually been almost a month hiatus. Well, a mini hiatus since...
Don't say the word hiatus.
Sorry.
You need to add another dollar to the jar now, Dre.
Dang it. So good to see that it'll be back on the air. It's always good to have something new to talk about every week when it comes to G.I. Joe. That's why it's nice having the TV show on.
Yeah, it's a little bittersweet just because, I mean, season one's got 26 episodes in it. We know by now that it's going on, quote-unquote, hiatus after that. So the fact that we now know what's happening in 23 out of the 26 episodes gives us a lot less to look forward to. And I'm really excited to watch Cousins, personally. I want to see Major Blood come back. It's one complaint I kind of have against G.I. Joe Renegades is that they do a lot of kind of one-off episodes where you meet these new people, and then they move on, and then you just never see them again. And Major Blood we haven't seen since, you know, the third or fourth episode. So it's really cool to kind of see him coming back again. Besides him, I mean, Zartan, I know he came back and got his great-looking suit. He looks like Zartan. It's really, really cool. And then he disappears, and we haven't seen him again since. So, hopefully they're leading up to something, but they're running out of time to tell these stories. So it's a little bit of a bummer, but from... from an episode perspective itself, I can't wait to see Major Blood come back with his eye patch and all that and see what kind of trouble he gets into.
Yeah, you know, just what Justin was saying, it does break my heart a little that the end is in sight for Renegades, and, you know, it's just, you know, looking forward, I just have this feeling that this will be it for the series, that I don't see it being rerun on Hub. I mean, it'll live on YouTube, but, you know, who knows? And, you know, will it ever see DVD? I don't know. It's just, I'm just going to miss it so.
Chuck is becrimped, everybody. Chuck is becrimped.
Gary, say something, Gary.
Well, listen. Hey, you can get it on.
It's a hug, man.
No, that's what we have Greg here for now.
Greg is the group hug expert.
Greg's the only one with a picture on Skype, so he looks friendly.
Well, if you're worried about making sure that, you know, you get copies of this, and, you know, you could probably find it through the back sides of the interwebs. But you can get it on iTunes, and while you're at iTunes, subscribe to What's on Joe Mind,
which is also in high def.
It's deaf. I don't know about high. Well, wait a minute. Anyways, Greg, rescue.
HD, that's
all right, now for our third or fourth installment of Collecting 101, which actually goes back to one of our emails. That was the one from Richard, talking about how to get involved in the community a little bit more than he is at the moment, which is a great question and something that we've all had to do. I mean, a lot of people, when they first started get back into collecting, if they left at all, they pick up the figures and they go online. But how do you guys get involved? I guess, Chuck, how did you go from picking the figures back up to actually being a part of the community?
Well, I think with like a lot of people, I started with those five figure sets for the 25th anniversary, and I started posting regularly in a thread that was on a Transformer site I frequent, and I actually got to know the people there really well. I didn't really reach out to other, you know, G.I. Joe collectors at first, just because I had heard that coming from the cartoons, that those are really frowned upon in the Joe community, and, you know, I didn't really want to ruffle feathers or get into a situation where I would be constantly, you know,
I don't know you, Chuck. Upon. I don't know you at all.
Yeah, exactly. But then eventually what happened is about a couple of years ago, Terradrome and Joe Battle Lines were at JoeCon, and they really went above and beyond, especially Terradrome, with their on-the-site coverage. They were tweeting stuff about JoeCon, like the new figures and stuff like that, before a lot of the other sites were getting it. And, you know, I did make a point of thanking them publicly, and, you know, I didn't realize this, but there was real human beings behind the Twitter feeds, like Justin and Wild Weasel from Terradrome.
They're all bots.
That's debatable whether or not I'm a real human being.
They're all bots.
Yeah, they're all bots. And, you know, and then we started tweeting back and forth, and, you know, they followed me, I followed them, and, you know, eventually, you know, I started going to General's Joe's, and then I also started going to Terradrome, which is really my G.I. Joe home. You know, that's where I post a lot, and it's a very warm, inviting place, and that's what keeps me coming back. Other than that, I didn't start really reviewing Joe figures until very, very recently. I would give my opinions to people who were trying to find the figure. Like, I would say, well, I have him, and he can do this, he can do that. But really, on YouTube, my YouTube channel, ChuckDog1999, I just started doing G.I. Joe reviews, since I noticed that there was an emptiness on YouTube when it came to Joe figure reviews. But other than that, I don't really do customs. My hand shakes when I try doing detail work, so I'm afraid to hold an X-Acto knife. I don't do conventions, so, you know, that's about it. But I am now active on, you know, two websites, and that's about it. Now, Justin, I'm curious to hear your story, you know, being, you know, going from collector to fan to website owner. Ugh. That's a journey.
Yeah, my story begins way too long ago for me to think about. It just reminds me how damn old I am. But I first kind of discovered the online G.I. Joe community mostly through news groups and mailing lists. The old alt.toys news group and the Yojo Pit mailing list. This was probably back in 97, 98. Living up here in the boonies, I lived in Vermont at that point. I had no idea there was even G.I. Joe toys still being sold. And when my wife went to law school, we moved down to Western Massachusetts together. And I actually had a chance to hit some Toys R Us's and was shocked and surprised to see the action figures in the Toys R Us aisles. So I immediately started picking them up and kind of rediscovered the internet. And, I'd been on the internet a little bit in college, when I went to the University of Vermont. And then, back then in the late 80s, early 90s, the internet wasn't much. So I kind of rediscovered it in the late 90s there and quickly discovered the G.I. Joe sites and eBay and became a collector first and foremost. The way I went into it is I just introduced myself and started talking. It was I got to say it was easier back then in the late 90s. There wasn't many people around. You didn't have 8 message boards with thousands of posters and, all this overwhelming kind of internet lingo to try to match up with and fit in with. It was a much simpler time. You just sat down at a keyboard and talked to your buddies about G.I. Joe stuff. And back then, you were talking about the old G.I. Joe stuff because there was no real new G.I. Joe stuff. And no, the Toys R Us stuff did not count. That was even back then, it was kind of frowned upon for shoddy, shoddy quality control, promises not kept as far as figure parts they were going to use and different things that I won't go into. But from there on, I just kind of built some friendships on the old Pit mailing list and made some deals with guys like Thomas Wheeler and Corey Stinson for just buying little ones and twos, early 80s stuff here and there. And that blossomed into, went from the mailing list to kind of the first message board foray I really was involved in was a place called the Bivouac, which evolved into what's now Joe Customs. I did mess around on Yojo a little bit back then. But really my kind of, catapulting into becoming a website owner began in the year 2000 when the new Hasbro line came out, the Cobra Commander, Chameleon, the Firefly Undertow, General Tomahawk and Dial Tone, all those figures. I was actually one of the first people in the country to find them at my local Toys R Us, and I bought them. And that night I went to Angel Fire and fired up my Angel Fire site, which I had been using to do customs and little silly things like that. Being a member of the Bivouac, customs was a big thing back then, and that's kind of the only way I could be involved was to make customs. So that's what I did, and then that was before I discovered the whole Dio story thing. And I posted the figures up. I did reviews. Obviously, it was the first place that anybody saw these figures, really. So, there was no Chinese connections back then. Grainy figures from San Diego Comic-Con was about the best we could do. There wasn't even a Joe-Con back then, really. There was.
But not giving out not having the 3 3/4 exclusives.
Yet. Exactly. Yeah, I was focused on the 12-inch and really didn't feature a whole lot from the 3 3/4-inch world. That was kind of everybody's first introduction, and I kind of got known for doing that review, and I kind of liked being able to educate the fans about the new figures and try to give some of my insight, and that kind of catapulted into the whole Dio story thing. And I ran an Angel Fire site for probably maybe 2 or 3 years, maybe 4 years. I don't know exactly how long. It was a while. Throughout the entirety of that 2000 to 2002 O-ring line from Toys R Us, my Angel Fire site kind of went through that whole evolution. And then once things relaunched into that, what turned out to be a pretty abysmal 2002 Joe versus Cobra introduction, I actually registered my General's Joe's domain name. And the whole General's Joe's thing is kind of funny. I was on AOL way back. Well, it's funny to me. Probably everybody else has probably turned off the podcast by now, so I'm sorry. But back in the AOL days, for whatever reason, I think, I was kind of a big fan of General Hawk back then because I was a comic guy. No offense, Chuck, I'm not going to jump on you for liking Sundo, even though liking Sundo is cheesy.
I was a very light jump.
I'm just picking on you, Chuck. Being a comic fan, I really preferred General Hawk over Duke, and so I kind of used him as my moniker. I had my AOL email address was ClaytonAbernathy@AOL.com. And
whoa, that's cheese right there.
Yeah, isn't that cheese?
Yeah, that's a lot of it.
That's cheese special. Yep. Yeah, that's a pot calling the kettle black for cheesiness.
Oh, yeah.
That's a cheese whiz right there.
So, yeah, from there on, it just, the General Joe's name kind of stuck, and I've been calling myself General Hawk on the message board just because that's what I'm known by, but you know, I'm kind of away from that now, but the General Joe's name is what everybody knows, so that's what I've stuck with. And you know, looking back, it seems like it was a quick thing, but it was kind of a progression. You know, you have to start out small. Just find some buddies to talk to. It's, you know, in some ways it's more difficult now with all the different choices you have and all the different people that are already established, but it's a lot easier to find people local to you and people you know, and try to find somebody to identify with. You know, if you live in a certain state, every message board out there is citing threads from all these different states. Just jump in there, and you know, Gary is a perfect example. His Coil Club is, you know, they're a great regional group, and that's kind of how they all started. They all just got to know each other from being local, and that's a great way to kind of get your foot in the door. You learn, you meet somebody who's been around for 10 years, and all of a sudden you've got all these connections to other people, and you can just kind of go from there and just keep posting and be active and don't be stupid. I guess that's probably the best advice I can offer.
The question, if I remember right, he wants to talk about, you know, there's so many sites to choose from. Before I get into, you know, kind of what I did, and Justin kind of hit on part of, you know, how I kind of got involved in the community. Yeah, there are a lot of sites out there. In fact, anybody listening to this program thinks they're going to make another G.I. Joe site, don't, because we're watered down enough. Of course, you have the I call them multi-genre sites. When I say genre, I say that will include your customizing, your artwork, your vintage, your 25th. Those are the big portal sites. And it's like, it's your His Tanks, your Terror Drums, your Joe Battle Lines, your Yojo. I mean, don't want to really miss anybody to offend anybody.
You don't say General Joe's, I'm flying over there and punching you in the mouth.
You don't have a forum. Joe Sightings, you know, thanks for Mike for helping us out. Obviously, he has a part in Joe Sightings. And then also, you know, Cobra Island is another one of those sites as well.
Joe Classified, I don't know if you talked about that.
Well, and then you
pretty
have
multi-genre.
Then you have kind of an information type sites that I want to go and get information from knowledgeable people, and those will be like your Intel, which is huge on documenting licenses of the hobby. Of course, there's always still Yojo, where you can find a wealth of information, and then the Classified is very much the same, where everyone can get together and share information and discuss it in a very reasonable manner. Then you have the specific sites, Joe Customs. That pretty much sums up what goes on there. Joe Dio's, again, pretty much goes on, that's what goes on there. Joe Reloaded, that's your comic site. Then you have the regional sites, the Tri-State Vipers, the SoCal Knox, the Coil Club, as Justin said, that I'm part of. So look around, what is your interest in Joe, and there's probably a site that's going to cover you. And yeah, you got to kind of put your toe in the pool a little bit. You know, don't come out there and say, hey, I'm an expert on absolutely everything. Just get involved. Be positive. That's the thing. You know, you see, there's people that post stupid stuff all the time. The easiest thing to do is, you know, reply and say, yeah, you're stupid. The hardest thing to do is just ignore it and move on and contribute to the positive nature of a community. Just kind of let it go. There's going to be those type of folks on any forum, no matter where you go.
And I'm going to intercede just for a second, Gary, if you don't
sure.
mind. Being positive doesn't necessarily mean, you know, being, as people would call it, you know, a Hasbro sheep and like talking up every single thing they do as if it's the best thing ever. You can be positive and be critical at the same time. And I think that's all Gary's really talking about is, you know, there's such a thing as constructive criticism where you can, you know, if you don't like something Hasbro is doing, you can state your opinion and just be respectful about it. Or if you don't like a custom, there are ways to state that without being a jerk. And I think that's really that's all we mean by when or at least I'm assuming that's all Gary means. I don't want to put words.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I meant. And I think a lot of us that aren't networked into the hobby think that we're kind of the only person in our area. We kind of share a little dirty secret. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the hobby. There's nothing to be ashamed of. There are other collectors in your area. You're going to run into them into the aisle of the your toy store. say hi to them. You know, you might take them off guard, you know, but they're also kind of feeling the same way. You're going to find an overwhelming member, the overwhelming numbers of Joe fans aren't on forums. They're just average, I'm in the toy aisle, I'm getting Joe's type folks. So
they really love it when you rub their back. So go up to them in the toy aisle, just kind of give them a gentle shoulder rub.
Yeah. And then wash your hands immediately.
right. But with that said, getting involved locally is a way to go, because then you can start networking with people that are near you, you know, half hour away, 15 minutes away, meet for lunch, meet over the weekend, that type of thing. And that worked out really well for me, because the Indiana, Western Ohio area is kind of blessed with a lot of collectors. And that's how we kind of started networking with all of them. So, and getting that later then got me involved more on Battle Lines, and then we created the Coil Club. But my first site, my first home was TNI, and that's where basically that's where I met all my friends at my, not my first convention, but my second convention in Orlando. That's where I met all my friends. They were all TNI guys, and that's where I had my start. So, and that's Toy News International. They have it's a multi-toy board, but it's, they do have a pretty, they did at the day have a pretty active Joe segment of the board. So, dip your toe in and, try it out. That's all I can really say. And that's, there's a lot out there. So, if you have any other questions on that, feel free to, email the show again.
I think all the guys had some pretty good suggestions, and I guess the big thing to do is find something that you really want to get into, or something that one aspect of the community that you really like. Say you like taking pictures, or even like your own personal hobbies, and you can apply them towards the community. Get involved with contests, stuff like that. There's a lot of options out there, and if you have questions or recommendations of where to go, you can always write in. We'll definitely try to help you out and point you in the right direction. But the good thing about the Joe collecting community is it's pretty small, so you can, I mean, you're going to meet people that are going to be at all different spots, and they can hook you up with other people, and you can really make some pretty good friends, I think. So it's good to see. But yeah, that's collecting 101 for the week. Next we have our infamous what do we get in this week. So Chuck, did you happen to find anything special for the week?
Unfortunately, no. I will be having Wave 6 shipped to me from BBTS, but I won't be getting that till Thursday. So next week, I'll be able to talk about it. Oh, wait a minute. Not Wave 6. Wave 5. See, I got confused because, you know, it's the wave with General Hawk and the Steel Brigader and all that. So that's Wave 5, right?
That is correct.
All right, yeah. No, I'll have Wave 5 coming to me on Thursday, as well as some Japanese Dark of the Moon toys. But, oh, that's another podcast. But, yeah, so I have nothing new this week, unfortunately.
I got a couple things in this week. I've got, I mean, the first kind of surprise package that I got actually arrived very late last week, early this week. Brand new pre-production sample of the new G.I. Joe Renegades Black Dragon helicopter.
You suck.
And yes, it is as awesome as it looks. I really love it. I know people have complained about the size a little bit, which I can understand. It's definitely not a troop transport like it's shown in the cartoon. But as an update to the Fang 2 or just a normal kind of Cobra single-person air fighter, it's really awesome. It's got some great spring-loaded swing wing features. It's got pretty nicely spinning propellers, bomb bay doors that drop bombs, little flip-out chain gun. It's small enough that you can kind of hold it in a hand and run around your driveway flying it and making pow-pow noises. Not that I did that, but you could if you wanted to.
Yes, you did. You did it recorded on the video. That's what.
If the police come by, though, it wasn't you. Take that from me. That's a lot of fun. I've actually already posted a review up on General's Joe's of that particular item, so you can see a bunch of pictures. And I did my first foray into YouTube video reviews, which was painful, but I certainly can't live up to Chuck's sparkling reputation when it comes to those things, but I think it turned out okay.
You keep doing too many of those, you'll need to get a manicure, pedicure, or whatever, so you have the model hands.
Yeah. And then today, actually, just before joining the podcast, I got a couple shipments. I got one from Big Bad Toy Store with my Wave 5 figures, which I've been discreetly opening during the recording of the podcast. And I also got a little stockpile of Cobra Troopers from an eBay auction that I probably spent a little bit too much money on, but I decided I was never going to see them at retail, and it wasn't a huge jump in money. So
does the wifey know?
Yeah, she knows.
Okay. All right.
I can't get anything past her. I try, but it doesn't work. And so it's easier just to tell her than to... What's that saying? It's easier to ask for forgiveness than ask for permission, or beg for forgiveness.
Yeah, beg for forgiveness and ask for permission.
Yeah,
correct.
That's been my mantra for a while now.
Mine too.
I wait until the package shows up and, oh, no, I'm sorry, honey. Or I just pull the old, my sponsor sent it to me trick. That's
wow. I'm going to have to try that from now on.
Everyone, you want to get one past your wife or girlfriend, go ahead and start your own website and get sponsors and blame it on them.
Yep, there you go. There you go. So yeah, I've got a nice little army of Cobra Troopers now, and I'm trying to take pictures a little bit as I talk on the podcast. And if you hear any camera noises, just ignore it. But that is what I got this week. Another thing I kind of wanted to let people know about too is that as a special little treat for podcast listeners, if you heard the podcast last week, you know I also got Ashiko with the cycle armor, and I have posted a review of that figure. I haven't posted the link up on General Joe's yet. You know, I've got the Black Dragon review up there. I kind of like want to let that saturate a little bit before I throw up another review so soon afterwards. So I actually haven't posted the link for it yet, but the review is up. So as a special treat for podcast listeners, I'm going to give you the web address for the review so you can check it out a little bit early. It'll probably be posted publicly on Thursday or Friday of this week, but you can check it out a day or two early, depending on when Gary gets off his lazy butt and posts the podcast.
Hey!
So you can check that out at generalsjoes.com/reviews/2011/pursuit_of_cobra/vehicles/cycle_armor.html. An easier way to do it might be if you hop on my review page and check out the review of the Black Hiss Tank, and then take out the Hiss Tank text at the very end and just put cycle_armor.html instead. That should pop you right to that review, so you guys can check that out a little bit early. Just like 75 damn pictures in that thing. It took me forever.
And, and we'll put that in the review notes as well so they can get a
awesome.
Look at it.
Now, what took longer, actually putting him into armor mode or actually doing the review?
Oh, my God, that thing was amazing. Not amazing in a good way either. It was... Yeah, it was an adventure. I was talking to Gary and thinking about doing a YouTube video review of making Ashiko's cycle armor robot, but it would be like a half an hour process, and I don't think anybody wants to sit through that. I certainly don't want to sit through it again.
You could record it and then speed it up and put it to Benny Hill music.
Try to put thing together. Yakety sack, awesome. You're giving me music ideas every time when we close out these shows.
All right. It's Greg's fault. Anybody who sees this review on YouTube, it's Greg's fault. That's a beautiful light.
Oh, gee, thanks, Greg. There's another video review I don't need to do now.
Oh, Chuck.
As long as we're talking about your reviews, Justin, looking at the pictures of the Black Dragon,
yeah,
you said it did not come with stickers. Those stickers were pre-applied?
They're not even stickers. They're actually different paint apps, which is really kind of cool. They've masked the different areas and actually painted it directly on there. There are no stickers. That Cobra symbol is a paint deco. It's pretty neat, kind of the way they did it. I know personally, I know it's a nice kind of callback to our childhood, but I cannot stand putting stickers on the vehicles. It takes forever.
Preach on,
brother.
The
testify.
Vamp took they came with like 8x10 sheets of these little tiny stickers that it was agonizing. So
and they don't stick on curved surfaces.
Yeah, no kidding. So I'm all for it. Paint the deco on, Hasbro. Get rid of the stickers.
Justin, I wanted to ask you, the way the wings on the Black Dragon can be swept back and then with spring-loaded sweep forward. Mm-hmm. Did that remind you of the mask vehicle? I think it was called the Venom. It was the one the bad guy.
The Switchblade.
It was called the Switchblade. Okay,
yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it was the helicopter to a jet because, I mean, I was looking at it, and I'm just thinking if this thing was painted in blue, I mean, that could be like a you know, a modern take on this on that Switchblade. But all right, yeah, so it wasn't just me.
That's all a cool observation. Yeah. I didn't really think about it at the time, but yeah, it does look a lot like the Switchblade, the way the wings kind of snap like that. It's a neat comparison.
Yeah. All right. Well. Yeah, who knows? Maybe this could be actually something, well, a surprise for later down the road.
Or another Mask references to get Joe fans all pissed off about.
Yay! Doesn't take much of that anyways.
Yay! But by the way, Justin, I should also mention that with the Ashiko cycle, I don't know if you've seen any of the videos from back in the 80s, but with Robotech and basically, actually, since it was only in Japan, Genesis Climber Mospita, the cycle armor for that series.
Yep.
That basically the articulation you get from Ashiko is the same you got from them. So, cool. I mean, you may not like it, but I think it's a bit more of an homage that way.
No, that's cool. I don't really understand. I don't really know how they could have done it differently. I mean, it's, you know, I tried to mention in my review a little bit that, you know, the Hasbro designers these days, you're kind of wondering if they're doing something just because they can do it and not necessarily because they should do it. I mean, I do like the cycle armor quite a bit, but, you know, it almost seems like they maybe over-designed it a little bit and just tried to do a little bit too much with it and couldn't quite make it as cool as it might have been. I love the legs. The legs are perfect. They fit really well. They're nicely articulated. They're big and heavy. But from the waist up, his arm pieces just kind of fall off at a moment's notice, and the wings kind of weigh him down a little bit, and it's just it's if you can find a good pose to display him in and keep him that way, it's a great looking toy. But if you're going to be moving him around on a daily basis, he can be a little bit frustrating.
Well, the other thing I noticed too, and I see, is unfortunately I couldn't tell if there was like only a one-way hinge, but those that chest piece with like the wings on the chest.
Yeah.
I was wondering, can that actually fold forward? Because it looks like if you can fold that forward a little, you might be able to swing his arms up more.
Yeah, it doesn't. It actually folds back more, believe it or not. It doesn't really fold forward.
It makes up the front A arm on the bike.
Yeah.
All right.
So if anything, it would restrict articulation even more. And what's kind of a pain is that the arm movement isn't necessarily hindered by the cycle armor. He's got that vest on over his body that's got those two thick shoulder pads, and that kind of really restricts his motion even more than the cycle armor itself does.
Well, let me ask you one other thing, because you mentioned the armor popping off.
Yeah.
If they put it, because it looks like instead of just being like a glove or something he puts on, it pegs into the arm.
Yeah.
If they had molded in some sort of handle that the hand could grip, do you think that the armor would stay on better?
I think it probably would, yeah. If he had something to kind of grip inside the little glove motion or the glove device that they make with those front cannons, I think it would definitely hold up a little bit better.
Okay.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. I'm asking because I do have a couple of the Robotech Mospita ride armor toys. Actually, what I have would be considered high-end collectibles because they were quite expensive. And, you know, I'm just, in the top of my mind how it was done with them and comparing it.
Yeah.
I know that actually with the Robotech Mospita, the figure himself had a lot of cheats on his armor, whereas stuff that in the anime clipped on was actually already on the armor, so that more of the cycle was in the chest and stuff like that. So, but this is actually closer to the with the Ashiko. It's basically everything goes on him, which I actually tend to like a little bit more. But so Gary, sorry, we went on a little sidestep there. Did you have something you wanted to add with the Black Dragon?
No, I just is it my turn to say what I got this week?
Oh yes.
Actually, guarantee you, it's not as cool as what I got this week, so we can just skip.
Oh, I don't know about that. Well, first of all, good buddy Greg also goes by an online name of Adrock, not as active as he was on the communities as much as he used to.
Greg's awesome.
Great guy. Sent me his entire run of America's Elite. Now, say what you want about America's Elite. I had some big holes in my collection. He's like, hey, you know, you got holes, and I can help you fill those collection.
Okay.
So anyway, so
Moving on from that.
So I got the entire run of America's Elite, and also I got a box from a certain goggled member of the community that had a certain Sky Striker looking plane in it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Black Dragon's cooler.
But yeah, I got the pre-production prototype of one of the Sky Strikers. This thing, you look at it wrong and it falls apart. But you know, once you get it together, I got to get some pictures of it. I know he's kind of put some pictures up on the classified, but we haven't seen it next to a vintage or a Fun School one. Beautiful. So I'll try to get some pictures of that. One change that no one has pointed out yet, to my knowledge, there's no more springs on the gear doors.
Really?
Yeah. It is all done by, you know, levers and you know, plastic slots that push it. When you extend the wings, it pushes them down. So that's one less thing. When I took my Fun School Sky Striker up to Kokomo Toys, which is just north of here, we were going to do a photo shoot to kind of compare the different Sky Strikers. And those things have been sitting up on my flag forever, and they've always been the wheels down the whole time. So those landing bay doors or landing gear doors, excuse me, didn't always shut because the springs were kind of stretched and they weren't kind of retracting the way they should. But it should not be a problem if that's indeed a change they plan on going with the functional aspect of this new Sky Striker. So, anyways, looks real cool. Pretty much all you've seen in the pictures is there's really nothing different, but that's the only thing I can really recall that hasn't been pointed out. Also, as I said, I went to Kokomo Toys. They got in some of the latest waves of figures. Picked up a couple more Steel Brigade, a couple more Jungle Bats. Little report from him on the sales front, and this is the guy that owns Kokomo Toys. The Cobra Troopers, just the regular old blue shirts, are selling briskly, he says.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
Which you're not surprised. I was kind of shocked because, like, it really wasn't much different than the 25th one, you know. But, you know, I guess you can't.
These figures are miles apart from the 25th.
I guess you can't hold back, you know. Agreed. I guess you can't hold back a classic. So, and then also when I was up there, we were up there, about Mike was with us and Smokescreen Jay and a couple, 3 or 4 hours. And while we were up there, he sold out of all his Steel Brigades.
Wow.
So, and I'm not saying he had a couple of them. Man. He easily had 10, 15 of them on his pegs there at the store, and people just walk in, buy. So there's a lot of collectors up in this area, and he's smoking through the Troopers and the Steel Brigade.
I don't know what's more impressive, the fact that he stole all those, sold all those Steel Brigades, or that you spent 3 hours with Mike. Ooh.
Well, he was a lot easier to listen to.
His microphone didn't keep dropping in person.
No.
We love you, Mike.
Kokomo Toys, they are now a Hasbro reseller, correct, with this last wave? Or
yeah, that's correct. Yeah, he has complete cases. If anyone's interested, contact Kokomo Toys at comcast.net. and see what he has left in stock, but I think I counted 6 or 7 cases still left when I was up there. But he would appreciate the business, and we're trying to solicit him as a sponsor for the show. So if you give him a call or give him an email or whatever, tell him that
we all get free toys.
You heard about it on What's on Joe Mine.
Very cool. All right,
Greg.
I for once actually got in something new. I got in Wave 6 and 5.
Sweet.
So wait. What happens if you pre-order stuff from Small Joe's and it's two different waves? Would they wait for the latest wave or the last wave to ship all your stuff out? So I got that on Friday and I've been tearing into them since then. I equate this wave with back during Joe versus Cobra, where we get a wave of repaint figures that were kind of a fill-in, where like they would have a wave where it was like Tiger Force, Crosshair, and somebody else, all in packs, looks like that. But these are so much better, so much better. Like they, and considering there's no new parts and there's no new accessories, Wave 5 and Wave 6 have some just great stuff in it. That I'm not a huge fan of Steel Brigade as a idea, but that figure is awesome.
I'm actually tooling around with mine right now, and yeah, I agree with you totally. It is completely like what they did back in those days, where they would give us like wave 7.75 or 7.5, right, whatever they called it. It's like in between the major waves, they would throw some repaints at us. And that's kind of what these were, because we weren't supposed to get these toys. We were supposed to take a little break between Pursuit of Cobra and the G.I. Joe Renegades line. But, you know, fan outcry kind of prompted them to push these assortments through. So obviously they couldn't do new tooling for them, so they just did repaints. But
fans outcry?
Well, I never. Fans don't outcry.
I'm shocked. Totally.
But, yeah, you're exactly right, Greg. What they did with the fact that these are repaints and that the figures are still this cool is, it's impressive to say the least. I mean, you know, Crazy Legs was the standout in Wave 6, and the others were kind of along for the ride. But Wave 5 is, you know, besides Blowtorch, and, you know, I'm a little bit mixed on Cobra Commander, but besides those two, it's just home run after home run after home run in Wave 5.
Yeah, that I noticed it when Gary posted pictures. Gary had posted the preview pictures of Steel Brigade, but he's wearing just the Shock Trooper vest, but the paint apps on it bring out so much detail. It's
exactly.
It looks awesome. I don't know. Very cool figure. That one and the Cobra Trooper, like you mentioned before. Mm-hmm. I only have one, and I need to pick up a couple more because it looks great, especially next to the Viper.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think probably my favorite figure is the General Hawk. I know a lot of people are saying, well, it'll make a great army builder, or they'll make it mainframe or Sparks. But I think it's probably the best Hawk figure that I've had.
You mentioned a good point, because actually he's, again, talking with Todd from Kokomo. He said he sold a fair share of those, too, to people that said they're buying them for that reason, just customize the General Hawk, either add another green shirt to the ranks or another character that we don't have a figure of yet.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, he's got a lot of... it's got some pretty good paint apps, especially on the legs, but he comes with a bunch of great accessories, and he looks plain enough that you can make him whoever you want, but as a Hawk, I think he looks pretty awesome, especially the card art. I don't know who was doing the art for the Pursuit of Cobra, but he's...
Justin, you know who's doing that stuff?
I don't know. I know Devil's Due artist Mike Baer was doing it for a while. He's not anymore. I'm not sure who's doing this stuff these days.
Pick up that hotline phone, man.
Well, I do not know what phone knows. You're talking about.
Okay.
If anybody out there knows and wants to get us in touch with that artist, I think we'd love to talk to him.
Oh,
there's
definitely.
Some great art that's been going on the cover, on the cards. Yep. But, yeah, that's what I got in this week, so I'll be slowly opening the rest of them, kind of spread it out, so it's not just opening 12 figures in one day and then just waiting for the next wave again.
Oh, I got to blow through them all at once. I can't do that.
I'm saving it one or two. I think the issue is that I'll open the ones I want right away, and then look at the other ones, and I'm like, well, I can just trade these off, or I'll just put them in my a box for later, and then like a day later, I'm like, well, let's open a Blowtorch, see what it looks like.
You're not missing anything with that one.
Yeah, sadly. But, yep, that's what we got in for this week. And then, Gary, if you want to take us on home for the wrap-up.
It's lead-out time. All right, let's see. Contact the show. Give you the contact info before we get out of here. It's whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook. Search What's On Joe Mind. Add us to your news feed. Find us on Podbean. What's On joemind.podbean.com. And subscribe to our feed and podcast on iTunes. Next week, we actually will have an interview. We will be talking with... He goes by the name Numbers, but sometimes he goes by the name Elite Warrior. You can find him on His Tank, posting about his site, ages 25 and up. We will talk to him, learn more about his site. Justin, you got something to pimp about your site this week, don't you?
That is true. That is very true. I'm working with James Kavanaugh Jr. on a contest to give away a free copy of the RAHC guide, which we interviewed him about a few podcasts back. The contest is currently running on generalsjoes.com. There's just right now there's a post on the main page. I'm going to put a post throughout the week kind of reminding people and sending a link along, where basically James's birthday was actually on Saturday, and he thought a fun contest might be just hearing what different Joe fans' birthday memories were back in the day. Or it doesn't even have to be back in the day. It can be from recent times. So I posted a post up there, and we've got...
Greg, you should go post.
Yeah. Did you have any good birthday memories from, a couple days ago?
I did, but I'm sure they're gone by now. It was one of those days.
Good. Glad to hear it. But yeah, but that contest runs until this weekend. You basically just pop into that post and post a comment, and I'm going to be picking a name out of a hat this weekend, and we hope to announce the winner on the podcast next week. And also, I'm going to post a video kind of showing the name being drawn out of a hat, just so nobody thinks I'm rigging anything.
Totally rigged. I mean, it's about as rigged as that CoverGirl vote. I'm telling you.
You know, if Gary wins a free copy, it's rigged.
So basically, I'm not getting the free copy, is what you're telling me.
Hey, if I win it, I'll give it to you, Chuck.
Oh, great, thanks.
There you go. Chuck,
if you put a comment there, you're up. You're up for. You can win if you put a comment in.
Oh, okay.
You're at my 5-year-old's mercy. She's going to be the one pulling the name out of the hat.
It's just that simple, folks. Just post a Justin site.
Yeah.
Under that news story.
There you go.
Chuck, it's been a rough night for you, man.
Are you here, Chuck, or are you gone again?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
That's too bad. I mean, I'm glad.
Sheer whimper.
Listeners, you hear what I have to put up with? You should hear the pre-show and the post-show.
While you were disconnected, man, Greg was talking such trash about you, I had to make him stop.
I plead the fifth. I did not.
Yeah, next week, you got the explicit rating. Greg, anything else?
Nope, that should be it for the week, I believe.
Well, that's it about for me. Only other thing is keep the questions coming for SK Omega. You can email them to the email address, whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. Justin has an active news story under his site, and you can probably find us at our Podbean page as well, post comments there. That's coming up in a couple weeks. But other than that, it's been an entertaining band back together, hour or so this time around. So it's been fun. We thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time, next week, on What's on Joe Mind.